जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम देवीं सरस्वती व्यासम ततो जय मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 56। उभयम् स्मरत पुंसा प्रश्वाप प्रतिबोधयः अन्वेति व्यतिरिच्येत तज्ज्ञानं ब्रह्म तत्परम्। उभयं स्मरतः पुंसः प्रश्वाप प्रतिबोधयः अन्वेति व्यतिरिचेत्य तद्ज्ञानं ब्रह्म तत्परम्। उभयम् both types of consciousness, sleep and wakefulness, smaratah, remembering, pumsah, of the person, prasvapa, of consciousness during sleep, pratibodhayah, and of consciousness while awake, anveti, extends through, vyatirichyeta, may reach beyond, tat, that, jnanam, knowledge, brahma, the supreme brahman, tat, that, param, transcendental. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation is twice the length of purport. Purport is very, very short. If one's dreams during sleep are merely subject matters witnessed by the Supersoul, how can the living entity, who is different from the Supersoul, remember the activities of dreams? The experiences of one person cannot be understood by another. Therefore, the knower of the facts, the living entity, who inquires into the incidents manifested in dreams and wakefulness, is different from the circumstantial activities. That knowing factor is Brahman. In other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entities and to the Supreme Soul. Thus, the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. In both stages, the knower is unchanged, but is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. Clear as mud, right? No problems. Everything is just super clear. Understood, no problem. No need for class. Purport. In knowledge, the living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman, but the quantity of the Supreme Brahman is not the same as that of the living entity who is part of Brahman. Because the living entity is Brahman in quality, he can remember the past activities of dreams and also know the present activities of wakefulness. As clear. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I beg for all of your blessings because I had no idea I was giving class. It just happened like 10 seconds ago or whenever before I came. So this is supposed to be by Paramakaruna, who during the time of sleep has been awake. And unfortunately, I, during the time of awake, have been asleep. So the combination is just deadly. And the purport is about dreaming and waking up, and it's everything's there, it's just in the messed up order, I guess. So it's said that an audience has the potency to draw from the speaker things that are valuable. And so I'm depending on you. Of course, I'm depending on Prabhupada and Kishore's mercy. But depending on your strength of enthusiasm, and inquiry, a spirit of inquiry, because the audience needs that. That something will come from this that will be helpful for all of us, myself included. So I'm begging you for your mercy. Let's just pause for a moment and try to take a, what we say, a bird's eye view. Sankarshan is speaking, Lord Sankarshan. And for the past few verses, it's all about sleep, wakefulness, dreaming. Have you guys been confused? Or at least a little... No, not you. Sorry. I have been confused. There is a reason that he's speaking this. Okay. So I'm going to read last two, three verses just to get a context, like a bigger... Sometimes it's important to read a set of verses to get like a big picture view. When a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far, far away. So can you please help me with what does it mean, sees in himself many other objects, such as mountains, rivers? What does see in himself mean? Yes.
Realm is available to the soul for perception.
Thank you. The mountains and rivers are not out there, they're here. And he's envisioning all of it within his mind. So it's in himself like that. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. So this is how the identities are switching. When the body is in one place lying down, the mind travels, the subtle body travels. And when a person is awake or wakes up, immediately they begin to identify with their body. I am human being, belong to such a nationality, etc. Right? And how does that happen? Certain things resonate with us if you are from one country, and the same things don't resonate with us if you are from another country. Can you give me an example of how an person from India would behave differently from a person in, from America? Just for the heck of example. Yeah. They may deal crowded situations. Another would be first, yeah. Okay. That's for debate, but okay.
And say when they go into the temple, the Hindu people will come, take off their shoes, pay obeisances.
Like yesterday was the first of the year.
Yeah.
Well, how was the temple in the evening?
It was packed.
Packed.
Yeah.
I know. I came late, but I sensed it'll be packed. And I'm guessing 95% were Indian.
Right? Yeah.
Was Indian. And first of the, in general, it's like first of the year, if I go to the temple, the rest of my year goes well. That's the whole idea. And some others, just our identification and therefore our activities are different.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say compared to Westerner, kind of looks around, walks in with his shoes on, you know, probably just starts wandering around, has no
idea. And because partly it's is this, they go to church, they don't have to take their shoes off in church, right? So it's just like, oh, you take your shoes off? Like that. Okay. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What energies are these? Yeah, material energy.
Correct.
Particularly the mode of ignorance that pervades the material realm. So it's always important that when you're talking, this is jnana section. Sankrishna is giving him like jnana. So in jnana, especially if you're ever discussing with mayavadis, these things always come up. They're called wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. Okay? Jagrat, Swapna, and Sushupti. These are the words that are always used. Jagrat means being awake. Swapna means dreaming. And Sushupti means deep sleep. The reason it comes up is because according to the Mayavad theory, so you take these, please show me these two fingers like this. Put them in your ear. Because we're going to discuss Mayavad for a few minutes there. According to Mayavad philosophy, person in ignorance does activities that don't make any sense. Basically, that they're fruitive activities. And on the physical realm, their activities don't make sense. And then they have a subtle realm of activities. That is called the Swapna. Swapna is dream. They dream of different situations. You met anyone who dreams of situations? Like they're not happy with what they got, so they dream of something better. Daydreamers. Or they dream at night. So this dreaming. Jagrat, Swapna. And Sushupti is deep sleep. In deep sleep, there is no dreaming. Correct? Anyone experienced deep sleep state? Yeah, hopefully. Because that's where we feel actually energized in deep sleep. The deep sleep is a state where there is no dreaming at all. So in that place or in that state, we lose sense of place. We forget where we are. We lose sense of time. It ever happened? You know that it's about whatever time, close your eyes, and the next thing you know, you open your eyes, and about 8 hours have passed away. Ever experienced that? If not, ever experienced a surgery where they put you under this anesthesia, that you get so knocked out that you have no idea? I mean, the entity is alive, conscious. Just that external consciousness has been completely taken away. It's called Sushupti. I had, in 2003, a particular incident in my life, which I don't want to narrate, but I just got stuck. But whatever it was, I was asked to, I was in hospital then for a whole month, on some super antibiotic, and after that I was given the clean bill of health, and then they said, just in case, one more time, we would like you to go through a colonoscopy. Okay, for those of you who don't know what colonoscopy is, it is a camera put through the other end, and it goes all the way up. They want to check for anything that's, you know, any aberrations, etc. So I was lying down. This guy came. His name was Dr. Rantus. He shook my hand and he said, I'm a rectologist. Okay, what a profession. Fine. And then he told me, count backwards from 10. I don't remember saying 5 or 6. 10, 9, 8. And I was so knocked out by the anesthetic. And the next thing is I opened my eyes and I'm still lying down in that position. And then Hemangi walked up and I said, so when will they be doing this? She said, what? It's been 2 hours already. Oh, yeah, everything's done. You're clear. You can go home now. So I sat in the car. I was in the back seat because I couldn't. You know, that effect of the anesthetic was still strong. So I was a little, I guess, tipsy. I went to the back seat. And all I remember was Hemangi turning the car on. And that's it. Next thing I know is she's parking the car in our garage, you know, half an hour later or whatever. It's like, wow, what happened? So Sushupti, deep sleep state. So according to this Mayavada idea, the soul is in the Sushupti condition, deep sleep. And in that deep sleep state, he's actually happy. Because even if he's suffering, he forgets that. He must be having some disease, he forgets that. He must be very poor, he forgets that. All his misery ends in deep sleep. Right? So they say that condition of being totally disconnected from one's sense of ego. I'm poor, I'm rich, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm suffering, whatever. One is fully freed from it. And that state of consciousness is to be attained in the wakeful state. That when you're awake, you should feel like that. Totally disconnected from one's ego. And that state is called state of Brahman. In that state, that the person has this awareness that I exist like that. So Krishna is explaining, or Sankarsana is explaining, in the end, the last statement, one should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. Because Krishna has no false ego. So he's not affected by dreaming, wakefulness, deep sleep state, modes of nature, not affected. He is by himself and ever happy. Then he's saying, knowing me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading super soul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. So sleeping living being means in a state of ignorance. There are two states of sleeping. One is the primordial sleep, which is called the mode of ignorance, which covers us and we forget. We are asleep to our real constitutional nature. Then there is the other sleep, which Paramakaruna doesn't get much of, or didn't get much of. Right? It's the other sleep. So there are two, states of sleep, I should say. One is the primordial condition, always asleep. Unless we are awake to our constitutional nature, we are considered asleep. The word Prabhupada uses is, starts with a D, dormant. Our real state of Krishna consciousness is dormant. And the spiritual master awakens us to our real life, to our real identity. So whatever the living entity does in the material world is considered to be activities in a dream. Because he's asleep to his constitutional nature. So in a dream-like state, he thinks, I am a king, I am American, I am male, I am happy, I am, you know, this is my age, these are my relatives, this is my money, this is my... these are my activities, etc. This is my sphere of activity. This is all dreamlike behavior, We're not talking of the dream that we see in our sleep. We're talking of the dream that we are living, not the American dream. We're living a dream. Sometimes it's called a pipe dream because nothing at the end of it. It's a dream because we are acting outside of or with no awareness of our constitutional nature. So it's all a dream. It's all like a dream, I should say. That's what Sankarsana is talking about, the real dream, not the dream that we have in our sleep. That is there. That is worse, because in a dream we have another dream. It's a dream in a dream. There's no solution to it, just that we are happy in the dream. Ah, I saw this beautiful girl in my dream. We wake up and there's nothing like that. So then the question will be, if the soul is sleeping, that's today's verse, if the soul is sleeping, then how is he aware of his activities? What's the connection? So that's the verse, that the connection is ubhayam. Ubhayam is a word that shows up in Bhagavad Gita many times, right? Chapter 2, text 16. Krishna says, that which is eternal has endurance, that which is temporary has no endurance. And the tattva-darshis, they see all of this side by side. Ubhayor abhidrushtvantas tanayo tattva-darshivihi. Ubhaya means side by side, actually. Both or side by side, juxtaposed to each other. So today's verse is ubhayam. Both types of consciousness, sleep and wakefulness. Smaratah pumsa, the living entity, he understands both the sleep and the wakeful condition through Brahman. They missed Brahman. No wonder you guys were repeating something. I'm like, why, what's wrong? I didn't notice. The word Brahman is missing. The last line should read Tat Kyanam Brahma Tatparam. So Brahma, it is because of Brahman that there is this knowledge, this awareness. And this Brahman exists because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who provides the living entity next to him all of this understanding. So here's the translation. If one's dreams during sleep are merely subject matters witnessed by the super soul, so the soul itself is not aware, if that were the case, how can the living entity who is different from the super soul remember the activities of the dreams? Like, what is the connection? If I'm asleep, now come back to our everyday condition. Let's say I'm lying down in the room and I'm in deep sleep. And around me, people are either talking or moving. And I'm unaware of it. But those who are talking and aware, they are aware of it. Right? The question is, how do I, who am sleeping, how am I aware of it? How will I know that this was the conversation that was happening? Someone has to tell me. In the physical world, someone has to tell me. Here, the Lord is saying that it is because of Brahman, which is common to both the super soul and the soul. The soul has this understanding. Brahman means the qualitative platform of existence. So here, Prabhupada writes, in knowledge, the living entity is qualitatively one with the Lord. So on the platform of Brahman, there is oneness. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where this is talked about. Do you remember that? No. About the oneness in Brahman. About what is offered, the fire, the butter, the performer, the offering. Everything is Brahman. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavi, Brahmagnau Brahmana Hutam. Hutam means offering. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. Brahma karma samadhina. This is the Mayavadi's favorite verse. They love this verse. This is what I've heard since my childhood. Brahmarpanam Brahma havi. That you, their view is, oh, you're seeing them as fire, the grains that are offered in the fire, the butter, the work, the activity, the Brahman. You're seeing them all distinct. Actually, that is not true. Everything is Brahman. How Prabhupada taught us that verse is, the fire is existing, the ghee is existing, the grains are there, the Brahmana is there, the sacrificial altar is there, the performer is there, and they're all spiritual because they're performing it for Vishnu. Everything is spiritualized. Distinction, this is important to know. Otherwise, it's not so different sounding. This is where people get a little confused. Should I say it again? According to Mayavad, everything is Brahman. Only it's your ignorance by which you see fire, ghee, grain, Brahman, altar, actually not there. It is all Brahman. The Vaishnava understanding is, when fire, ghee, grains, Brahman, active, they're all used for worshipping Vishnu, they all attain their spiritual natures. While they're individually existing, they attain their spiritual nature. If we have to serve Krishna, if we don't awaken our mood of service or our constitutional nature, we cannot approach Krishna. True? Because we can, matter cannot approach spirit. Only spirit can approach spirit. So spirit means constitutional nature. When I'm a servant of Krishna, I have access to Krishna. As soon as I lose my mood of service, I have no access to Krishna. When I'm chanting in the mood of a servant of Krishna, I have access to Krishna and Krishna's holy name because they're the same. Otherwise, I don't. I fall asleep or I get distracted or something. So that is Brahman, that Krishna is spiritual, all spiritual, and we are also all spiritual. But we are tiny and he's infinite. So that connection is Brahman, by which we, although we are in a sleeping condition, we understand the activities because of Brahman. Super soul conveys it to us on the Brahman platform. That's that spiritual. The experiences of one person cannot be understood by another. Now I'm going to move from super soul and soul to something practical for us, because for me every verse means there has to be something we have to practice, something we have to apply. When a person is fully absorbed in himself or herself, we call it in English self-absorbed. What is one thing that happens when a person is self-absorbed? They see reality on the basis of their perspective. What else? Everything should happen according to the plan. Okay? What else? What about other living entities in the area? They're totally unaware of them. No, they don't see anything. They're so self-absorbed. They don't see that I have husband, I have wife, I have children, I have friends. There are other living entities that also have a right to live. This is called, when one is self-absorbed, they become completely callous and numb to another person or another living entity. I like to eat meat. And that is all about how I, what taste I will get. Chop another animal. It doesn't matter. So insensitive to another person. Or when one is only thinking about themselves, a person sitting next to them or close to them may be in distress, but they don't even notice. They're totally unaware of another person's pain or suffering. Ever had? Of course, we've all had that experience, correct? So that's what is being said. One man's experience or pain cannot be understood by another. Except when? When do we start noticing others' difficulties and others' pains? When it impedes our sense of compassion doesn't come for sense gratification. I'm talking from a compassion point of view. Well, even when it happens to a person, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are sensitive to others. But there's something else. When we are in a mood of service, as soon as we find ourselves, I would like to serve Krishna, we begin to notice others' pains, others' suffering. It's just that how it works. Because by Brahman, we're all connected. Living entity, living entity, living entity. And that awareness of each other's pain. Of course, we can't experience the same pain. For example, I may be in the mood of service and someone else's finger gets cut. We don't feel the same pain, but we become empathetic like anything. Oh, that must really hurt. Which otherwise, we have no awareness of. We don't even consider other person are hurting or they're in pain or they're suffering. We see someone suffering, and we think, oh, whatever. Right? I'm not speaking that's alien. This is our experience, correct? The moment we think, I would like to serve Krishna, we start noticing others suffering. Small, small things about others, we will notice. It's that connection on the Brahman level, which is what we want. Empathy. Compassion. We may not through our senses feel the same, but whatever, empathetically we feel for another person. This is called Paradukha Dukhi. This is why the sages and the acharyas, they feel for another person's suffering. When we hear Vyasadeva was thinking, what should I do for Kali Yuga people? We have no access into Vyasadeva's consciousness unless we step into that kind of empathy. Oh, that's what he's thinking about. We can get a glimpse of it once in a while. If someone is suffering in the world, if you ever had seen the National Geographic magazine, right? What brilliant living entities all around the world and the universe. In the ocean, in the sky, the insects, the animals, such variety. We look at them and say, nice photography, beautiful colors. A sadhu will look at it and say, how much suffering. That the soul is sitting in this body. That must be so much suffering. Such an insignificant, tiny little thing, some lizard in the Amazon, living in complete oblivion. For a sage who has Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastini, they look at this with a lot of pain in the heart. That what kind of desire this soul must have had that is sitting in that body today. Oh, painful. You understand? You see the contrast in the consciousness? Because in the heart, they're carrying the service mentality. So the more we develop our service mentality, the more in tune we are with what Krishna, Lord Chaitanya must feel. What the acharyas must feel when they see this material world and the people. What Prabhupada would see when he saw people with the tie, with this, oh, it reminds me of a tie. Because the gentleman wears a tie. So one person met Prabhupada and Prabhupada had a bead bag around his neck. They said, what is that thing? Prabhupada said, bead bag. Why do you wear that round your neck all day? And Prabhupada, without batting an eyelid, said, why are you wearing that piece of cloth around your neck all day? And the guy didn't know what Prabhupada said. What piece of cloth? And he said, oh, tie. Because the person never thinks tie is a piece of cloth that you put a knot around your neck. Everyone said, why are you walking around with a piece of cloth around your neck? But when Prabhupada came to the Boston Harbor and then to the Lower East Side and saw all these people, what would have Prabhupada felt? Of course, he wrote it. They're suffering. There are two types of suffering, right? And one can debate which is worse. That's when one has like some difficulty and they're suffering, you know, either a physical ailment or a mental ailment, handicap, something. We can see they're really suffering. Even worse, sometimes, is those who are oblivious to it. They think they're very happy in this material world. Oh, there's no problem. Everything is nice. That's more suffering. Because those who are physically or mentally suffering or handicapped, they know there is suffering. But those who are oblivious, there's no suffering. And the sage comes, the sadhu comes to shake a few things up for such persons. And that is our service. We're meant to, in the footsteps of those acharyas and Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, meant to extend their mercy to others. This is where the experiences of one person can be understood by another, is what the Lord is saying. And that understanding comes because Krishna gives that understanding. I'm going to pause and see if there are any comments. Yeah, Michael, Jitendra Prabhu, Krishna Nam, Paramakarta.
About the picture over there, you know, he sees all these living entities, you know, limited by these bodies. And he sees how much they're suffering. But again, there's that verse that says, a wise man laments for the living nor the dead. So I was wondering if you can connect these two.
I couldn't catch the second part of your... Can you speak into the mic?
You said pretty much a sage, he'd see all these living entities, you know, trapped inside these bodies. And sees how they're suffering and feels compassion for them. And like, I guess, some sort of lamentation. But there's that verse in the Gita that says, a wise man laments for the living nor the dead. So I was wondering if you can expand on that.
The wise, when he talks about in the Bhagavad Gita, that the wise laments neither for the living nor the dead. That is in relation to his own body. And from a platform of knowledge, one doesn't lament for the living or the dead. Because knowledge tells you that it's just the change of body. But bhakti tells you that this change is eternal and something must be done about it. So that's why we are asked to serve on a platform of bhakti. Because on the platform of knowledge, a person becomes neutral or indifferent to everything. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that jnana and vairagya, knowledge and detachment, cause a person's heart to become hardened. Because that's just the body, come on, like that. Which is true knowledge, but it makes the heart hard. But when you see from a platform of bhakti, that knowledge will tell you that this person is suffering. And is there something I can do about it? Another reference is in Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. In fact, this is it. Any question about devotional life, if you go back to Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, they're covered there. And in that, Prahlad Maharaj, there's a verse that he says, Shoche tato vimukha chetasa indriyartha. Prahlad Maharaj says, Shoche, I'm lamenting. Can you imagine? Lord Narsingadeva is standing right there with his paw, transcendental paw, on Prahlad's head. Is there any room for lamentation? But he says, Shoche, I'm lamenting. I'm lamenting for these souls in the material world who have turned away from you. Why? Maya Sukhaya Bharam. They are carrying on like asses this weight of illusory happiness. Bharam Udvahato Vimudha. Such an idiot is carrying this burden of illusory happiness. I lament about that. So sages or sadhus has lamentation for another person. For themselves there's no lamentation. Change of body, change this, that, no lamentation. Is that okay? Therefore we are asked to move from knowledge to bhakti. Knowledge only is not... According to Narada Muni, knowledge by itself is not something that's nice. Usually knowledge is considered to be a decoration for a person. Right? We put ornaments. But the nice decoration, even better than ornaments, is knowledge. That's a great decoration. But according to Narada, when he's chastising Vyasadeva, he says, Na shobate jnanam. This knowledge that you've given, na shobate, it's not good. Why? It is devoid of Niranjana. It is devoid of Lord Krishna. Yes, Jitendra Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada said, first you have to become conscious, then you can become Krishna conscious. Then he said, well, they call it the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it. And I remember Srila Prabhupada was in some big city and he was with one of the devotees and there are all these people going to work. And Prabhupada was like looking at him like, you know, wow, they're suffering. And then the devotee kind of picked up on that and he says, sometimes I feel compassion for them. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, sometimes, we should all the time.
Right.
You remember that pastime?
I remember, and I will give a homework exercise for all of us to do after we're done. No, there was Krishnanam.
Oh,
I was wondering about this Brahman point.
Wondering about what?
I feel challenged to understand this. The point of Brahman that you know, you said that all knowledge is connected. I couldn't understand.
Sense of connection.
Yeah.
Is on the Brahman.
Is it that we are all connected? Does it mean that we are all spirit souls, that's why we are connected, but at the same time we're individuals? Or can you elaborate a little bit on this Brahman topic?
Yeah. Thank you. We are all living entities and we're all connected to each other by the agency of, or because we are parts and parcels of the super soul. Like on a bicycle wheel, there are many spokes. All the spokes are connected to each other at the hub. If you didn't have a hub, the wheel cannot bear the weight anymore. The spokes cannot be coming together. You have to have a hub. So the hub is Paramatma. The connection with each other is because of Brahman. Brahman means existential reality. Existential reality is when we ask someone, who are you? The answer they will give is, I am something related to I am the body. I am such and such. Most people they'll give their name. Who are you? This is my name. See the answer? Who are you? This is my name. Name is different from the person, but we say such and such. Or, who are you? I'm American, I'm Indian, like that. For me, I changed identities recently. Until a few days ago, I am Indian. Now I'm American. Nothing's changed from I'm Indian, I'm American now. Because my passport changed. My upadhi changed. Right? But that's not who we are. The sense of who I am is our existential reality, which is I am Aham Brahmasmi. I am a spirit soul. So when I say Aham Brahmasmi, you say Aham Brahmasmi, everyone is Aham Brahmasmi. That's our connection. We are all Brahman. That is our commonality. Otherwise, we don't see commonality. Oh, okay, he's also American now. American, American, Indian. We see differences. And in general, in life, although differences exist, we tend to gravitate towards commonalities. Social media is the reason that we find commonalities. Friends, something in common. We always are trying to find something in common with another person. And the illusion makes us want to be distinct at the same time. Oh, I have special knowledge about something, something, something. So this is always this common and individual. Common and individual. Because that's our constitutional nature, actually. So on the platform of Brahman, Krishna, all the living entities, they are same. You understand? Krishna is also Brahman in the sense that he is spiritual. I am spiritual. I am spirit. We're all spirit souls. Krishna is the supreme spirit soul, but spiritual. So far, okay? I'm just breaking it down to pieces. So Brahman is the platform of existential awareness that I exist. I am a soul. On that sense of commonality, we have awareness. For example, now let's take it to a very mundane example. Let's say you and I belong to the same country. Okay? And something is happening in our country. Either the political issue is something, or there's an earthquake, or some whatever. You and I feel something that others may not feel. True? My country. Connection is there. That awareness is there. For another person, it's like, oh, okay, it's not in my country. But because we identify with the country, the sense of commonality, we have the similar pain or awareness of something. So on Brahman, we have awareness of everything else. And that awareness is given by, in this verse, the super soul. Or the Brahman facilitates that awareness. Although the soul is sleeping, per se. He's sleeping means he's not aware of his constitutional identity.
My question is different, but since he raised this question, so when the person is aware of his own spiritual identity, and the same at that time, he's totally, his awareness with the Brahman is same as the Paramatma, is same or is it still less?
What's the last line? Is awareness of Paramatma?
Awareness of Brahman, means the level of Brahman, the awareness is there. Is same as the Bhagwan or is it
according
less?
To the Mayavadis, it's the same. According to ours, it's not the same. Because we are Anu, and Krishna is Vibhu. You want to hear a pastime of Prabhupada that makes this clearer? Once a disciple of Prabhupada said to Srila Prabhupada, when I'm chanting, I feel like I want to help everyone, or something like that, or... Yeah, I think I'm getting the words a little mixed up, but something that, can we serve everyone, or I feel like serving everyone. And Prabhupada said, you want to serve everyone? Do you even know everyone? What is your capacity to know everyone? How many living entities there are? We don't know. But Paramatma knows. Paramatma knows, even when the Brahman platform, one may not be aware of all living entities.
The soul is Sachit Ananda.
Mm-hmm.
And you told that he's in equality with the Avinaya Sampanni.
He is Brahman.
So his awareness is...
Equality doesn't mean in quantity. That's what Prabhupada is writing. There's right. quantitative difference. There's qualitative oneness. The mundane example. Barack Obama is American. You and I are American. Do we have the same sense of awareness and facilities?
No.
But we are one, that we are American. Very different, quantitatively. I hate to compare him with the Supreme, but you get the idea. Yeah, the Jiva always has awareness, fullness in himself, but not fullness of everything. Like a cup of ocean water and the ocean are both saline water. And this cup is full of this cup is only this much, and this bucket is full of saline water. Their quantities are different.
Different way. So if a person is going to spiritual world, he has his own Swarupa. At that time, his awareness of Krishna is same, or in the Vaikuntha with four end forms.
Uh-huh.
So his awareness with Krishna is same as Krishna, is still less than Krishna.
Cannot be the same as Krishna. Huh? Krishna knows every living entity in existence fullness.
Then why the person who go to Vaikuntha has 400 forms, like same Swarupa as Krishna?
That's how Krishna wants them to serve. It's a facility for service. Their awareness grows like anything. Now, many times we also hear that Srila Narada Muni knows the inner workings of the hearts of the living entities. As good as Paramatma, it is said. Because Krishna empowers him such. Lord Shiva, he understands the workings of all the living entities. Yet, Krishna's individual, Narada's individual. Krishna's awareness is different, quantitatively.
Okay, the next question is that...
Does that settle?
It's definitely settled. Okay. I'm just trying to get explanation. The second question is that you told that when person is sleeping, he doesn't have any awareness.
Deep sleep.
Let's say 8 hours of deep sleep, wake up in the morning, or you give the example.
8 hours of deep sleep would be really amazing if you ever get it. Yes.
For example, you are sleeping in the Maharaj room and you suddenly wake up, you fall. You think that it's 5:45 in the morning, but it was an evening time.
Yeah.
So at the time, that awareness comes that, okay, that I was in a deep sleep. Where is that awareness coming from?
That is what he's talking about. That's the Brahman. Yes, because of that sense of identity. The only way we know that I was in deep sleep is because we have a clock. This is a measure of time. Time itself is imperceptible, right? And the way it comes to our perception is by the movement of the sun and the moon. So we have a clock. When I woke up, I didn't know it was day, night, didn't matter. Only when I looked at the clock, it takes moments for me to, where am I? That the sense of things happening back again is because of Brahman. Although influenced or within matter, so I identify as, I am such and such person. We are in Brahman right now, correct?
Yes.
In Brahman, there is this dark cloud. And we're in the cloud.
Yes.
That cloud is in Brahman.
Yes.
So awareness is everywhere. But within the dark cloud, the awareness is perverted.
Okay. Awareness is perverted.
Yeah. Therefore, I don't think I am aham brahmasmi. I think I am this body. But I still have awareness.
So that awareness is coming from Brahman, that I was in deep sleep.
Yeah, this is what makes the soul different from matter, that there is awareness. We say consciousness. I am conscious. Versus this is not conscious. Aparyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. jiva-bhuta mahabhavo yedam dharyate jagat. There is awareness. Gokulananda? This is a tough question. It's 8:30, we have to stop. Okay, he has a minute to ask his question. I don't have time to answer it.
I have a question about Brahmavadis.
Yeah, Brahmavadi.
Because you mentioned that
Mayavadi.
They see Brahman everywhere.
Yeah.
That's correct?
That is correct.
So for me, it seems something positive in the
sense... Brahmavadis are no problem.
Yes. But when we talk about Mayavadis, the Prabhupada criticized, there is a distinction.
That is correct. There is what?
A distinction.
Distinction, yes.
Because they see Maya everywhere.
Correct.
So they see that this world is false.
Mm.
The same, the Brahmavadis, they refer to the appearances of the world as illusory. So I want to know if you can expand on the concept of Mayavadi within the practitioner of bhakti. In the mood of the birth, the Rupa Goswami explains the Falgu Vairagya, when we reject everything because we don't see the relation to Krishna. So it seems that Prabhupada talks a lot about Mayavadi because we have some conception of Mayavadis.
Sure.
Because we don't know how to relate with this world.
Yes.
So when we take a spiritual life, we have that vision that Krishna is in the deity only, but it's not outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to develop that conception of the Brahmavadis because we can also fall in the category of an illusion, that thinking that everything is Krishna, but not being on that realization of Brahman, actually. It's just a theoretical conception.
Hmm. Well, two areas that quickly come to mind is how, even within the practice of bhakti, we can be influenced by Mayavad, or impersonalism, if you will, is one, in the sphere of relationships, that as soon as something happens, we break our relationships or we withdraw from relationships. So that verse, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha, Bhaya and Krodha both come from, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Mayavad idea. Bhaya, that if the spiritual world is just like the material world, because there are relationships, there's variety, oh my gosh, I'll be facing the same thing again? No. They don't want that. And it enters the practitioner's heart that as soon as something happens, the first conclusion is, yeah, I know. That is why relationships are painful. I should not get into any relationships with the devotees. This is approaching it as a Mayavadi, or approaching it within that understanding. Another is, especially the verse you were quoting about Falgu Vairagya, that it is incomplete or improper renunciation. In that verse, there's a very important word, Mumukshubhi Parityago. Mumukshu means one who wants liberation. Liberation really means freedom from suffering. So even when we are in bhakti, we have suffering, correct? We have to wake up. If you don't wake up, then some guy is going to tell you, why are you not there? That is suffering. So we want freedom from it. Or we are going through some prarabdha karma, either financial distress or physical distress or mental distress, we pray to Krishna, please remove my distress. This is impersonalism. Please remove it. Because we want freedom from it. It's a immature state of bhakti, but that's what it is. Because freedom, because we think that when the difficulty goes away, life will be better. But Lord Brahma, Queen Kunti, they pray differently. Lord, what does Lord Brahma say? Tattenu kampam susamikshamanaha. He's not saying remove the distress. He's just saying whatever distress has come about is because of my past activities. Now in that, let me use my body, mind and words in serving you. And Queen Kunti says, what distress? Let the distress keep coming one after the other, because whenever it comes, I think of you. So Mumukshubhi or Prahlad Maharaj, if you notice, Prahlad was a little boy, so much suffering. He never prayed to Vishnu to remove that suffering. He never said, please relieve me. But as soon as there is Mishra Bhakti, mixture, you will see such prayers. Like when Vritrasura was fighting with the Devatas, they went to Vishnu and said, can you please remove this difficulty? Because they're operating within Maya, bodily identification. So this is why Prabhupada calls Mayavad also the last snare of Maya. Because they're thinking, I am liberated, but they're afraid of relationship with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Because the moment you say relationship, there's a problem there. Or another way Mayavad appears is, we see the deity of Krishna. Or in general, we don't understand what Krishna as unlimited means. We don't have like an appreciation for it yet. Krishna is unlimitedly wealthy, unlimitedly merciful, unlimitedly tolerant. And we test that like anything. No problem with that. Unlimitedly forgiving. But we tend to project certain limitations on Krishna. That's coming from either bodily conception or an impersonalist sense of Krishna. Does that satisfy you? We have to be very watchful. It's there. This fruitive mentality and speculation, which is that impersonal tendencies, is there, deeply rooted. Okay, so exercise for today, and we'll report it tomorrow. Whoever is in class, I don't know if they'll take it. Here's what we're going to try, which I'm sure all of you are anyway doing it, but now we are more, at least today, will be aware of it. Notice whenever during today, like all of today, catch yourself, let's catch ourselves, let's catch ourselves genuinely trying to be in the mood of service and see how that affects our awareness of others around us. Okay? And the other part of the exercise is, there will also be parts of the day when we are not in that mood of service. And let's make a note of our unawareness of others around us. Clear? Exercise is clear? You will see a stark difference. I'm sure we will all see that stark difference. When we are absorbed in I, me and myself, others stop existing around us. And when we go outside of that, we will notice opportunities for service, opportunities for being compassionate, empathetic, all that will come. So let's notice, if we can, make little notes. And if you'd like to share it tomorrow, it would be nice. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.